Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here today, and welcome to February's edition of MedAir's Aviation Security Podcast. Again, my name is Ryan Brockhaus, and I'm the Aviation and Maritime Security Supervisor based in our Phoenix, Arizona office. Today's topic of discussion is the effects of environmental activism on civil aviation. This is an increasingly important topic, as disruption and outright vandalism of aircraft and airport facilities by an international environmental activists have garnered news headlines more frequently over the past few years. These often illegal actions have also become more brazen, especially in the Western world. So in this discussion, we will tackle the who, what, where, why, and how of these groups, along with some mitigation measures and recommendations that clients can take to reduce the risk of disruption to flight operations. To lead us through this discussion today, I'm pleased to have Daniel Marilanda, who is our Senior Aviation and Maritime Security Specialist based in Phoenix, Arizona. Daniel, great to have you here.
Great to be here. Thanks, Ryan.
Great. Now let's dive right in. As just mentioned, we've seen a major uptick in environmental protest groups targeting aviation, but more specifically, civil and business executive aviation. Can you provide us, Daniel, with some insights on who these specific groups are?
Sure. There is a large cast of characters within the environmental movement that have shown an interest in targeting civil aviation, with the most prominent being Greenpeace, Extinction Rebellion, Last Generation, and Just Stop Oil. These groups are generally funded in two ways: through direct donations from sympathizers and members, and through more formal NGO structures, such as the Climate Emergency Fund, which openly supports what it calls, quote, the disruptive nonviolent climate movement. These main actors are far from the only groups interested in disruptive protests, and there are many examples of small, self-funded groups participating in these events.
Yeah, that's really interesting, especially with kind of the donation process and who's openly funding these groups. It's also interesting to note the number of NGOs that are taking part in this. Yeah. So what are the motivations of these groups, and why? Why civil aviation?
While all of these groups fit under the environmentalist umbrella, their exact ideology can differ greatly. On one end, you have the radicals, who seek to completely eliminate the aviation industry. More moderate factions have specific grievances with air cargo or with business aviation. Ultimately, the main concern of all of these groups is that, according to some estimates, the aviation industry accounts for about 2% of global CO2 emissions. While some in the aviation industry have made pledges to achieve net zero emissions, many activists want this process to happen faster.
Okay, so that's interesting. So the aviation industry worldwide only accounts for 2% of CO2 emissions, and this is what they're targeting. So that's pretty interesting. So now we've seen many headlines over the last few years of these protests, which some have been certainly high profile, and often lead to vandalism of aircraft specifically. But what regions in the world have we seen are most affected?
While environmentalist groups exist in pretty much every corner of the world, virtually all disruptive environmental protests have targeted airports in the past have taken place in Western Europe.
Oh, wow. Okay. So almost exclusively Western Europe. Mm-hmm. Why is that specific region more prone to these incidents?
There's no one reason for why Western Europe sees so much of this type of activity. Public opinion polling has consistently shown that environmentalism is politically popular in Western Europe, much more so than elsewhere in the world. This gives environmentalist groups a sympathetic audience and aids with recruiting and fundraising. In the past, this has also made authorities in Europe more sympathetic and less likely to throw the book at protesters, as far as charges and sentencing is concerned. This is quickly changing, however, as pressure has increased on authorities to limit disruption caused by these protests.
Okay. So the general population in many of these Western European countries, it seems, I guess they just have more sympathy towards the sort of the green agenda and environmentalism. And I guess hence the number of these incidents occurring over there. Okay. So what tactics are these groups using? And what is the most common occurrence?
The most common type of protest that we've seen have been sit-in type events in public landside areas, such as roadways outside airports and airport terminals. More concerning from an aviation security perspective are protests that involve penetrating an airport's secure airside areas, such as the runway, taxiways, parking aprons, etc. Most often, this is done by cutting through an airport's perimeter fencing. Once inside, protesters have deployed a variety of tactics, including physically blocking aircraft, gluing themselves to the runway or to access routes, or even to aircraft, riding bicycles on the runway, and in some cases, vandalizing and even physically damaging aircraft. On one occasion, protesters strapped smoke grenades to remote-controlled toy cars and drove them onto a runway. While this didn't damage any aircraft, it did disrupt operations significantly. Protesters have also utilized hobby drones to disrupt operations. This is relatively rare, as hobby drones are small, and the odds of a drone being spotted and affecting air traffic are rather small. Authorities can easily miss a 1.5-pound drone flying over an airport, but they can't miss protesters gluing themselves to the runway.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, especially with as you mentioned, the hobby drones, a lot of these are really, really small and hard to spot. No question about it. Now, some of these incidents we've, of course, been familiar with just following, you know, simply the news headlines over the last few years. But what are some of those high-profile events?
Well, one of the most high-profile event that I can remember took place at Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam. In November 2022, a coalition of environmentalist groups descended on the airport with the intention of causing as much disruption as possible. According to reports, an estimated 500 protesters launched a sit-in inside of the airport's main terminal. Simultaneously, about 30 protesters were blocking the roadway outside. While police attention was focused here, another 500 protesters cut through the chain-link perimeter fencing and stormed the secure side of the airport. Once inside, they placed themselves in front of aircraft to prevent them from moving and rode bicycles on the airport's runways. All in all, the airport experienced at least 8 hours of disruption to aviation ops. Considering that more than 1,200 flights used Schiphol every day, this resulted in the disruption of hundreds of flights, a massive number. Thankfully, protesters in this incident did not vandalize or damage planes. This has happened in other cases, however. In June 2024, protesters spray-painted parked aircraft at London's Stansted Airport in what they claimed was an attempt to vandalize pop singer Taylor Swift's private aircraft, which they believed was parked there. It wasn't, but several aircraft were vandalized anyway. A separate incident in Germany saw protesters completely cover an aircraft in spray paint, causing significant damage and reportedly leading insurers to completely write off the aircraft.
Okay, yeah, and it seems that we have seen a little bit more of the overt vandalism where they are using, you know, colored spray paint on these aircraft. And another event I remember quite clearly was back in 2023 in Western Europe for the E-Base event. And I think that was something like 100 protesters involved and eventually arrested, but it caused significant disruption to that event. So, you know, definitely a worrying sign. But have the numbers of these incidents, have they actually gone down over the past 12 months?
Not really. Despite many European governments declaring their intention to crack down on disruptive environmental protests, I have seen little evidence that this has actually decreased the activity of these groups.
And why is that? Is that largely due to inaction?
Not really. Ultimately, governments in Western Europe need to balance the costs of airport disruption with the democratic right to protest. Taking an approach that appears too heavy-handed could cost authorities politically.
Okay, so of course, some of this inevitably has a political element to it, and I guess political will largely determine, you know, whether these incidents by these protest groups are reduced. But what are some things operators or clients can do to mitigate the risk from these environmental protests?
Well, there's no way to completely mitigate this risk. There are some things that operators can do. Operators can park as far away from the airport perimeter as possible, ideally in a hangar. There have been examples where an FBO's security team kept protesters out of a hangar and prevented damage to an aircraft. Operators can also ensure that crew are trained on what actions to take in the event of a protest-type incident. Additionally, crew should remain vigilant when maneuvering the aircraft on the ground due to the risk of protesters being in the vicinity of runways and taxiways. Finally, operators should consider short turnaround operations if protests are expected at a location. In the end, a holistic approach is needed, with commitments not just from operators, but also from airports and authorities. While protest is a deeply enshrined right in Western Europe, the risk to public safety from the penetration of secure airside spaces must be mitigated.
Yeah, these are great points, especially those four steps. And understanding too, Daniel, the holistic approach that's needed. So these are great inputs and great insights. Thanks again, Daniel, for coming in and discussing this subject, which no doubt has the interest in many of our clients with MedAir.
Thank you.
Okay, so as mentioned in last month's inaugural podcast, we aim to provide you with these discussions on a monthly basis, just like our recorded monthly security briefings. We hope you enjoyed today's discussion, and once again, thank you for joining us, and we will see you next month.